I want to begin the homily today with a little story, a little exposure of my own life, sharing something with all of you. I ran in a warrior dash obstacle race one time, and jumping over one of the obstacles, when I landed, I dislocated my toe. And I didn't know at first what had happened. I just knew it hurt really badly and that something had happened to my foot. But at the end, if you finish, you got a finisher medal that was also a bottle opener, and I really wanted that. So I limped through the whole race and finished. And at that point, there was just like this excitement of finishing. I wasn't even thinking about my foot hurting. And it wasn't until I got home and I was going to shower that I realized what ended up happening was that I had dislocated my toe. At this point, with a toe sticking up the wrong direction, I didn't really know what to do, but I kind of thought, it's going to be okay, and I can just leave it. And maybe if I, like, apply some pressure and, like, step one foot on the other, maybe, like, pop back into place. I didn't know. I'd never dislocated anything before. And so I continued to go through the evening, went to my aunt and uncle's house and had my foot up, and they gave me crutches to use. And for the next several days, I kept thinking, this is fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to fix itself. It won't be a problem. And it got worse and worse, obviously. And I kept trying to walk on the back heel of my foot, thinking, oh, it's, you know, I'll just change the way I walk, and then it'll be okay. Eventually, I had to go to the doctor about a week later. And the doctor was pretty upset at me. And he said, if you had come in right away, we could have easily probably even just popped it back into place. Now, we're going to have to deaden the foot. We're going to have to set it. We're going to have to wrap it. You're going to have to be on crutches and in this stupid boot thing for like 6 weeks and keep your weight off of it. Because if you put weight, it might pop back into place because you went so long without doing anything. And I share that story because it's a little exposure of how stubborn I am and how often I think, I'm going to be okay, I can take care of this, I've got it. And I want to share that because as we begin Lent, that question of what are you doing for Lent is asked all the time. I think as Catholics, when we begin as children, we're taught, you do something for Lent. I hate that question. Because for me and my temptation for self-reliance, to me, it becomes too easily this season of self-improvement. This, like, another chance at what maybe my New Year's resolution was. This way for me to say, you know, pull up my bootstraps and be like, I got this, Lent. I'm going to become a better person. Here's all the things I'm going to do. The reality is, Lent is not about what we do. It's about what Jesus Christ has done and is doing in our life. Lent is an opportunity for us to return to that. For with all our whole hearts to enter into the triumphant work of salvation that has already been done and is continuing to be done in the lives of Christian people in this world, preparing us for eternity. And I think our gospel shows that very well, that so often our human temptation is to look at what we do within this season. And yet, in reality, what we should be focusing on is the heart. To be focusing in that first reading where we that prophet Joel calls, return to the Lord with all your heart. What is it that's keeping me from returning to that relationship, to that communion? Now is the time that we ask that question. And so I've been thinking about this the last several days, and I think when we look at our heart and we recognize, okay, there are things that are keeping me from love, from relationship, we might be able to even identify some obvious sins or things that it's like, well, I'm constantly choosing that over God, or I'm constantly talking about how much I hate people. That can't be good for my heart. And yet at the root of every sin, every choice that we make that is against love or right relationship, at the root of all of that are wounds within our human nature. When we look at self-reliance, pride, envy, where that stuff comes from, at the root of it is the fact that we are broken human beings, living in a world of broken human beings, And so the reality is that hurt is real. And sometimes wounds then happen and develop from being hurt. The danger is that we start to believe lies because of those wounds. And so at this point, I'm going to pull from a book, Be Healed, by Bob Schutz. And perhaps some of you have read this book. But within it, he identifies the seven deadly wounds. So perhaps we've heard of the seven deadly sins before, but his whole point within this book, Be Healed, is that prior to that, there are these wounds that lead to lies about our identity that we start to believe, and then we act out on those lies, and that's where sin comes into play. And so if Lent is about the heart, let's go even deeper. Let's go deeper than what we're going to do for Lent and look at how we can be transformed this Lent. Bob Schutz, he identifies these wounds. And I'm going to read the list, and then I'm going to read the list and share some of the lies that he says can develop out of that. And so what I invite us to do maybe is close our eyes, as long as you promise not to fall asleep. But use this as a moment to kind of reflect and say, does my heart react to some of these? Am I stirred or moved, perhaps, as some of these wounds are spoken? Are they wounds that I feel association with? Because that could be an indication of where we need to move this Lent. The seven deadly wounds: abandonment, fear, powerlessness, hopelessness, confusion, rejection, shame, abandonment. I'm all alone. No one cares or understands. Fear. I'm afraid. If I trust, I will be hurt or I will die. Powerlessness. I cannot change. I'm too small. I'm too weak. Hopelessness. Things will never get better. Confusion. I don't understand what is happening. Rejection. I am not loved, wanted, or desired. Shame. I am bad, dirty, shameful, stupid, worthless. And because what has happened to me, I'm unlovable and will never recover. Wounds are deep. But I think it's very important as we enter into this season of Lent that we take a moment to sit with the reality that perhaps some of these deadly wounds are actually wounds that I'm experiencing in my heart that are keeping me from actually entering into the relationship that will help me. Self-reliance wants us to say, oh no, these are fine. It's going to be okay. We'll get it figured out. And yet we know when we proclaim today through all of Lent in preparation of Easter, where we proclaim that Christ is the victory. His death and resurrection is what transforms and saves and ultimately heals. And so what I would propose is that we use this Lent for healing, to identify some of those lies that we're believing in our life that need to be healed, that we would enter into this season seeking to make our heart more full so that we truly can turn back to God with all our heart. When we are signed with ashes, one of the things that can be said is repent and believe in the gospel. It's hard to believe in the gospel if we're believing lies, because the gospel is victorious and it is true. And so for us to say, yes, to enter into Lent, to repent and believe in the gospel, I have to identify those things that are not the truth of the gospel. And I need to be able to reject them. So I'm someone who's very tangible. And so for me, beautiful, healing. Yes, I want it. But what does this mean? What does this look like? In Lent, I had already decided what I was going to give up. So how can that change at this point in relation to this? And so I think I'd recommend a couple things. First, what we are already doing for Lent, what we've already chosen perhaps to fast from or ways that we are going to give of ourselves or the prayer that we're entering into, to ask the question, what is this revealing about the truth of my identity? How is this helping me heal from any wounds that may be present? The other, another thing, in a very tangible way, the church herself has been provided by Christ to accompany us in this life. We have the sacraments, some of which are particularly directed towards our healing. That's why reconciliation is such a part of the Lenten season, because within that sacrament, the only thing we bring into it is our poverty and our brokenness, our sins, and we bring it, and God, our Father, in merciful love, receives it and transforms it, healing our heart, showing our heart what merciful love looks like. So perhaps entering into the sacraments more fully in this Lenten season could be part of our journey towards healing. The church herself, our parish, St. Thomas More Newman Center, is here present to also accompany us. Our priests and our staff available to walk with all of us in this journey. In the gathering space, there are before and after Mass, there are people present. If you want to enter into a deeper prayer life or are looking for ways to get involved in the parish, there's brochures on the table, and then also our Lenten small group information is out there as well. And then finally, I'm going to leave you with three book recommendations, especially if you haven't thought about what you're going to do prayer-wise, how you're going to enter more fully into prayer in this Lenten season. I think that these three books, any one of them, would be a great accompaniment for you in that journey. And so I give you permission right now, if you want to grab something to write with, pull out your phone, pull up Amazon or Notes or something to search any of these books. Right now, no judgment if your phones are out, so I'm giving you permission, as long as you put them away after the homily. The first book is one that I'm going to be working my way through, called Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin. It's by Ken Niepman, K-N-I-E-P-M-A-N-N. Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin. Within this book, he enters into these areas of deadly sin and deadly wounds, but then he sets it up in a meditative way so that each day of Lent, we're going to have a little piece of reflection to kind of help us go deeper and deeper into identifying the parts of our life that aren't satisfied, that need to be healed for us to enter into a more fulfilling relationship. That's Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin. The next book that I would recommend is the one that I was pulling from for the homily, Be Healed, A Guide to Encountering the Powerful Love of Jesus in Your Life. That's by Bob Schutz, S-C-H-U-C-H-T-S. Be Healed, A Guide to Encountering the Powerful Love of Jesus in Your Life. Again, focusing on this movement towards recognizing if we're wanting to bear good fruit in our life, we need to make sure that whole tree is a healthy tree, and that begins with the root. If the roots are wounded, then the tree's going to bear poor fruit or bad fruit. And so if we're stuck on just focusing on our sins, that's not enough. We have to go deeper. And so that book is Be Healed, A Guide to Encountering the Powerful Love of Jesus in Your Life. And then the final book that I would recommend is Restore. Restore. It's through Ascension Press, and it's Restore. The subtitle is A Guided Lenten Journal for Prayer and Meditation. Ascension Press puts together a journal each season, each penitential season, to kind of help guide you through. And so the reflections in this one were all written by Sister Miriam James Heidland, who's part of the SALT Order. And she speaks beautifully about healing in any presentation I've seen done by her. And so what's beautiful about this book is that it is a journal. If you're someone who likes to write out, likes to process by writing, this is a great option to go. It gives the reflections and meditations and gives you a chance to process through journaling. So that's called Restore, a guided Lenten journal for prayer and meditation. Lenten Healing is book number one. Be Healed, book number two. And Restore is book number three. Know of my prayers for each and every one of you as we walk through this Lenten journey together, specifically that this would be a time of healing, restoration, of us coming back to the Lord. This relationship that is not just a relationship like all the rest of ours, but actually one that feeds all the rest of our relationships. A relationship that is based on the victory of the cross and the great revelation of the empty tomb that we are preparing for as we are journeying towards the beautiful miracle of that Easter season. I pray that our Lent is one that is powerful and one that draws us complete and full, heart to heart with our loving God.